Hello, everyone, and happy Thursday. First of all, I've got to kick off today's episode by saying happy 3-year podcast anniversary. It has officially been 3 years since the Simply Kennedy podcast was launched. So if you are a listener who has been here from the very first episode, thank you so much. If you're a new listener, thank you as well. I appreciate everybody who takes the time out of their day to listen to my podcast, and I hope you enjoy the content that I'm providing, and I always am doing my best to improve my content and to really make this show a show that so many people can enjoy. So thank you again if you're one of those people who enjoys this podcast. Now, if you're new around here, my name is Kennedy C. I host this podcast every Thursday, sometimes Friday, and it's everything pop culture, from movies to music to TV to celebrity news to fashion and everything in between. If you haven't already seen in person, we do have a really awesome billboard here in Texas celebrating the 3-year anniversary and advertising the podcast. If you're not from Texas or if you haven't seen it in person, you can head on over to the Kennedy C Media Facebook page and you can check out the pictures of the billboard there. It's really exciting. So yeah, today's episode is a fun episode. It is an episode I'm calling the Summer Series Showdown. So I really watched 8 different series this summer. Maybe more, maybe less. No, not less, but maybe more. But these are the main ones that I watched and I've been watching. So today, basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to be ranking the 8 series that I saw this summer and kind of reviewing them and giving my opinion on them. But before we do that, as always, I have a little pre-recorded ad for y'all to listen to, so here is that. Thank you so much for listening to that ad. I really appreciate it. So, like I said, today's episode is going to be me basically ranking and reviewing the 8 series that I saw this summer. And for the most part, this was complete seasons. So every single one of these series that I'm going to be talking about had a new season, and that's specifically why I chose these series to talk about, because there are other shows that I watched, but it wasn't necessarily new seasons or anything, or new series at all. So I decided to talk about only series that had new seasons, or that the series started this summer. Some of these are not over yet. Some of them are still airing episodes, but for the most part, these series are complete. And the ones that are still airing episodes, which I believe it's only 1 or 2 on this list, I feel like I've seen enough of them thus far to kind of give my opinion about them. So that's what I'm going to be doing. For the most part, these shows are kind of teen, young adult dramas, more or less. And yeah, I thought it would be fun to do this. Obviously, summer's coming to an end. School's back in session. Pumpkin spice lattes are back at Starbucks. So yeah, fall is coming. But I thought I'd do one last kind of summer episode. So that's what we're doing today. That is what we're doing. This might be a little bit of a longer episode just because I really do want the opportunity to speak about each series. And before I get into this, I'm going to try to tell you, without spoiling the order, I'm going to go from my least favorite to my favorite. So instead of reading them in that order, I'm going to try to read them off in the order in which I watch them. So, and this is going to be off, but at least this is not the order that I'm ranking them. This is just the order I watch them, so you know what shows I'm going to be talking about. So we have High School Musical, The Musical, The Series, iCarly, Love, Victor, Never Have I Ever, Elite, Gossip Girl, Grown-ish, and Control-Z or Control-Z. And yeah, those are all the series I'm going to be talking about today, ranking, rating, reviewing, and whatnot. And I want to say, before I get into this, spoilers ahead. I just don't realistically see myself not spoiling these, so spoilers ahead. And some of you may be shocked to hear that I have not seen the Loki series yet, or What If. Yeah, I know, it's crazy. This is actually probably the first 2 Marvel projects that I don't watch immediately, but, I do have those on my watch list. I am going to be watching them, so just wanted to throw that in there. There's also, like, 2 or 3 reality shows I watched, that I decided not to include in here because reality shows are kind of just a totally different genre of television, and I didn't think it'd be fair to kind of rank them among these other shows. And basically, I know, you're probably like, okay, get into it already. But before I do get into it, I do also want to mention briefly two things that happened this week in the world of pop culture. Because this is a special episode, I don't really get to talk about other things, but I kind of want to just mention these two things. So first off, Olivia Rodrigo released her music video for her song Brutal. If you haven't seen that, I absolutely love the video. There's ballerinas in it. I do ballet, so it was really cool to see that. There's a lot of awesome, like, filters that are actually available now on Instagram that were made on Procreate, on the iPad, and the whole video is kind of like an irony because it's actually an ad, like, for Procreate and the iPad, and the irony of it is that, like, in the song Brutal, she says, "Who am I if not exploited?" And so to kind of have that video be an ad, I don't know, it's just one big irony. Anyway, if you haven't checked that out, you should definitely do that. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about really briefly is the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer dropped 2 days ago, I believe. 2 days? Sounds about right. And it's also been the fastest trailer to get over 1 million views. It is the most watched trailer ever. I am not joking. I am so excited for it. Obviously, we have Shang-Chi and The Eternals, which I am equally as excited for. I love MCU movies, and these movies will not be released through Disney Plus Premier Access, so it'll be a theater experience again, which I absolutely love. But yeah, Spider-Man is going to be wild. There's, you know, heavy hints in the trailer at the Sinister Six. We do see some villains there. We've got Green Goblin, and we see Doc Ock, which is really cool. And it's the, you know, Doc Ock is from the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, so there is, like, all those rumors that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are going to make appearances in the multiverse and everything are seeming to be true. So we don't know for sure, but the trailer was really good. So if you haven't seen that either, highly recommend checking it out. Now let's get back to what we are here for. So I'm gonna start from my, out of the 8 series, my kind of least favorite to most favorite. So at number 8 I have Control Z, or Control Z. This show is from Netflix Latin America. It is it takes place in Mexico. Most of the actors are Mexican. It is originally in Spanish. This is one of two shows on here that are originally in Spanish. I speak Spanish, so I watch these shows without subtitles or anything like that. However, I know these shows are not necessarily just popular in Spanish-speaking areas. I know that a lot of people, especially the other show that I'll talk about, a lot of people globally watch them, so you do have that option of, like, subtitles, or I think there's dubbing as well, which I would highly recommend if you are watching a show, a series in any language. My personal preference is subtitles if you need them, but I don't like dubbing. Anyway, that's just another something besides the point. But basically, I really liked season one of this show. It gave me very much Gossip Girl meets kind of like, I want to say Riverdale, but maybe not Riverdale. Maybe meets Elite. Yeah. So I did enjoy the first season. It was kind of a mystery. It was very interesting. I think the characters were not necessarily likable, but they weren't unlikable. However, season two has been quite a disappointment. Now, first of all, the characters were all so unlikable this season. Like, even the ones that I kind of liked in the first season, they kind of just turned me and made me hate every single character, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I think sometimes if done right, it's okay to hate every character. I don't know if anyone else agrees with that. However, in this case, it was more of like every time any character would do anything, I'd be like, "You're kidding me," or like, "That's what you decided to do." For example, last season, and again, I said spoilers, so I'm gonna be spoiling stuff, okay? Last season, the main character, Sophia, she, the hacker, who was kind of the villain or the antagonist of the series, she kind of spent the whole time, like, fighting with him, hating him, blah, 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 especially at the end once she finds out he's the hacker. And then this season, she kind of just forgets all of that, and she's kind of dating him, and it's a whole mess, and, like, it just makes you be like, really? Like, seriously, girl? Then another thing about this is that this season was a little hard to follow. There were certain things, there was a lot going on, and there were certain things where I was like, wait, when did that happen, or what? And it was hard to follow. I don't like a series, I mean, I love twists and turns, and I love when every character gets a plot and whatnot, but I hate when I have to go back, and I have to be like, oh, that happened? Oh, I missed that. Sometimes there's a such thing as too much going on, or just not being easy to follow. Another thing is just that a lot of the plot points are stuff that we have seen before. I previously mentioned, like, Gossip Girl, Riverdale, Elite, and I can probably think of 500 other shows. And in general, the premise of the show to begin with, which was the hacker and everybody's secrets being revealed, was very Gossip Girl. But then you get into these other plot points that just feel overdone. And I could see past that in the first season, but in the second season, it just felt like I was watching something I'd already seen. And the last kind of negative about it was that the finale, so the whole season is about and somebody trying to get revenge or trying to avenge the death from the first season. And the whole thing is, who is the, I want to say Avenger, in this, which technically that's what it translates to, but in Spanish it would be Vengador. And who is the, I guess I'll say Avenger, or the Revenger, I don't know, reminds me of Marvel. But anyway, the whole point is, who is this person? And in the end, when we finally find out who it was, it's kind of a disappointment. It's not like a main character. It's nobody important enough. It's just like a lackluster finale. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a disappointment. They did hook me enough to want to know what's happening in season 3. I know there's one actor, Michael Ronda, who he is supposed to be starring, like, the main character in a new Disney Plus series, Disney Plus Latin America, that is. And at the end, his character kind of runs away. So I'm curious to see if his character, which is one of the main characters, will return or not. My guess is kind of maybe he won't return for the next season, or he won't be as big a character in the next season. And I'm assuming that has to do with probably filming conflicts with Disney Plus and whatnot. But yeah, overall, I don't hate the show. I actually really, really recommend season 1. I really enjoyed it. But somehow, season 2 just, I don't know, just didn't work for me. It wasn't that great. Now, at number 7, we have Grown-ish. And this is, I believe, well, kind of, the only show on this list that is still airing. The entire season is not out. This is the 4th season. I have been keeping up with it since the first season. I watched, not every episode like I do with Grown-ish, but I did watch Black-ish quite a bit. I watched a little bit of Mixed-ish, which that show got canceled after one season. But I've watched Grown-ish because it is about college students. I'm a college student. And I really do like the main actress, Yara Shahidi. I think she is great. Not so much as an actress, not that she's a bad actress, but, I think she's a really awesome human being in general, just all her activism and different stuff. So I do watch the series. I've watched it since season 1, and each season has kind of been like a different year of college. So this 4th season is revolving around senior year. It kind of actually started with, like, a summer vacation type thing, and then, or was it spring break? Oh, wait, maybe it was spring break. Anyway, it's now kind of focusing around their senior year, and, you know, there's nothing inherently bad about it, but it's kind of just a show I watch to kind of, I don't want to say waste time, but essentially, yes, just to kind of waste time, just when I have nothing else to watch. It's not the show. And yes, I do watch, not weekly, but I watch every episode. So I'll catch up every now and then. But it's not a show where I'm like, oh, I have to go watch that. Like, there's certain shows where I'm like, oh, I have to watch them when they come out. I will stay up till 2 a.m. to watch shows, sometimes new episodes. But that's not the show that I do that with. Yeah, it's just not, like, it's good. It's just, it also is another series that's a little bit repetitive. Not so much necessarily plots that I've seen from other shows, but plots that I've seen time and time again from the same series. It feels like they kind of repeat plots, and then sometimes it feels like they just ignore previous plots altogether. There's also some weird time jumps. Like I said, like the start of the season, I don't remember if it was summer or spring break, because they do have a lot of time jumps. And particularly this season, they kind of tried to address COVID, like, very briefly. They kind of mention it, though there's nothing else that indicates that it even happened. I do appreciate them for kind of trying to address it, but I feel like it didn't necessarily work out very well. So anyway, because of that, they kind of imply that, I think there was, like, a semester they did online or something, which, by the way, COVID was not just one semester, but anyway, that's besides the point. But anyway, so that's another time jump. So we get, like, that vacation, then we get, like, a time jump. I don't know, a lot going on. Now I'm thinking, though, it was spring break at the beginning of the season, because COVID would have happened right after spring break. But anyway, that's that. And then another thing I didn't like, or I don't like thus far about this season particularly, is Chloe and Halle, who are sisters, their sister singing duo, who also act on the series. Halle Bailey is playing the Little Mermaid in the live action Little Mermaid, so she's not in the show this season, and her character had, like, a lot of, like, sarcastic quips and little just jokes here and there, or, like, sarcasm that I really kind of miss. So it, yeah, her character is definitely missed, especially if this is the last season, which it very well could be, because Blackish is ending, so that's, like, two of the three-ish shows end, like, having ended. And then also, because it is their senior year, technically, unless they find some loophole around that, it feels like the show has to come to a natural end. So, yeah, I mean, that's that. But it is funny, and they do try to deal with some serious topics, which I appreciate. They're not necessarily always handled in the best way. There's some series that really know how to handle serious topics, but I do appreciate that they at least try to address certain things. At number 6 on this list, I have Elite. Now, I've got to be totally honest. Several characters left from characters that were in season 1, 2, 3, and then this fourth season, several of those characters left. Particularly, you all know this if you've been listening to my podcast long enough, I am a huge fan, not only of her as an actress, but especially as a singer, of Dana Paola, and her character, Lou, was no longer on this season. So I feel like, I gotta be totally honest on this one, I kind of came into this season, like, a little bummed, a little bit biased, because my favorite character slash actress slash singer was not gonna be on this season. And so some of the other characters that as well that were some of my favorite characters. But with that being said, I gotta say it wasn't a bad season. Particularly, I think the biggest thing for me is that it wasn't very memorable. I can remember most of the things that happened in the first three seasons, whereas this fourth season, I really can't remember everything. The new characters they introduced were not bad. They weren't maybe the best characters, but they weren't bad. I just particularly miss some of those characters that left. Aside from Lou, Carla and Valerio left. Two other great characters, Nadia as well. So we did have some, like, great main characters leave. And then there were certain things that they kind of almost erased from the first three seasons. For example, the first three seasons, and also they did these short episodes prior to this season of kind of what happened between season 3 and season 4. And you know, there were certain things that, especially relationships that were built up from season 1, 2, 3. For example, Nadia and Guzman, which I get it, Nadia left the show, but then even in those short episodes, they kind of tried to keep them together at a distance. And then the new season comes along and all of a sudden they just like break up. And it just kind of didn't flow well with the rest of the series. Same thing goes for Omar and Ander. You know, they were the whole thing, like literally 3 seasons worth of building them up. And even like part of this season, just for them to kind of end things. And then two more characters left at the end of this season. So now season 5 is going to be like practically a completely new show. And a lot of the shows on this list are actually like reboots, revivals, spin-offs, etc. And even though this series, it's just a new season, it just feels like with all these new characters coming in and old characters leaving, it feels like a revival, not a revival, but like a reboot of some sort or spin-off. It just doesn't feel like the same thing. Like I said, with that being said, it wasn't a horrible season. It was pretty good. I feel like it wasn't memorable, but I feel like there was some good, like, plot twists and turns. I think I would watch it again just to kind of remember what happened. It wasn't bad. It's just not super memorable. I do have high hopes for season 5, particularly because there is an actress, Valentina Zanere, that she is joining the cast. I saw her in another series before, and I think she's great. So I think she's going to bring some of that. No one can really match Lou's energy, but I think she's going to bring some of that energy that Lou had and that Dana had. So yeah, not bad. Just definitely not as good as the previous seasons, which I feel like is a reoccurring theme on this list. Truly, I feel like some of these shows, the more seasons they have, kind of the more the show goes downhill. Next, on number 5, I have Gossip Girl. This is the new Gossip Girl reboot. And it is a little low on this list, but I gotta say, I'm not hating it. It's just, first of all, with any reboot or anything like that, I do kind of have to compare it to the original. It's just inevitable. And also, I feel like, I'll get into it, but I do want to mention, first of all, this is the other series on this list that is not complete. Technically, the season 1 has been split into 2 parts, which was a little unexpected. I actually did not expect that. It felt very short, but there is supposed to be another half of the season coming, I believe, in October or November. I could be wrong, but you can double check that yourself. So I'm kind of going solely off of season 1, part 1, which I feel like is enough for me to kind of talk about it. The biggest thing for me was that I'm not rooting for any of these characters. They're not likable. And the thing about being likable is not necessarily that they have to be good people. In the original Gossip Girl, every single one of the characters, pretty much, like you could even say like the more innocent characters like Nate and Dan, they were bad people. Like deep down, they had bad qualities. Maybe they weren't bad people, but they had bad qualities. And then there was some characters that just really were like bad people. But the thing is, you liked them. Like even though Blair was kind of a bad person, she was just so likable. And like I was convinced, like she is like the biggest thing in New York. Like I wanted, like just like the characters in the show wanted to know about Blair and Serena, I wanted to know about Blair and Serena. Like I was convinced they were fashion icons, they were like just super important. Whereas, and I feel like that's the biggest part of the show, like that is what the show is about, like the elite, what is it, Manhattan's elite. So I feel like with these characters, they haven't convinced me enough, first of all, that they're important, that they're fashion icons, that they're even, like, rich enough. Like, I mean, we see, like, their houses are big or whatever, but I don't know, just, like, with the original characters, like, I was convinced they were, like, super rich. These characters, like, okay, they're wealthy, but I'm not convinced that they're, like, the top of the top, you know? And then I'm just not rooting for any of them. Like, there's not one character that I'm like, oh, that's my Blair. Like, I am obsessed with her. She could do no wrong, even if she does the worst thing ever. They're just kind of like, meh, okay, they're all right. And the fashion as well. Like, I gotta say, there was some fashion moments that I was here for. But there was, like, a lot of moments where I was like, really? In the original Gossip Girl, every single outfit they wore was, like, iconic. Whereas in this one, it's kind of like, all right, I guess. So, yeah, that's just my take on the characters. Now, as far as the plot goes, it's not bad. And I continue to watch it. And I don't hate it. And, again, it's kind of hard to not compare it to the original. But my biggest problem with the plot here is that, obviously, the original was Blair and Serena. This one is Zoya and her sister. Oh my gosh, what is her name? I probably should have looked that up earlier. Anyway, the two sisters. And they're the main characters. See, they're not even like memorable. You see, like, I don't know. Anyway, they're the two, like, the new Blair and Serena. But the thing is, the whole thing with them, every single episode, is they don't like each other. They're sisters again. They don't like each other. They're sisters again. And that gets a little too repetitive. Like, there should be moments where they do like each other or where we focus on other characters. Because after all, that's what Gossip Girl was. It was, like, about all of the main characters, not just about Blair and Serena, even though they were technically, like, the focal point of it all. And the other thing I really don't like is, again, heavy spoilers if you haven't seen it, the teachers are Gossip Girl, and I don't know, that just does not sit well with me. There's so much I can go into detail about that. Like, literally, it's just kind of gross. Like, when it was a student in the original, it made sense. It, you know, it just made sense. This does not make as much sense to me, and they try to give us this reasoning about, like, oh, Gossip Girl kept everyone in line because they didn't want their secrets out and blah blah blah, but, like, it just doesn't make sense. And I really hope in the second half of the season that we kind of do get, like, I don't know, like, hopefully the teachers go to jail or something and a student takes over Gossip Girl. That would be ideal. I am interested to see where it's going, though, and I do hope that the series is able to kind of evolve and, I don't know, have some more original plot points that aren't the same thing every episode, or kind of just make the characters more likable. So yeah, it's not bad, but it is almost like you're watching the same thing week after week. At number 4, I have High School Musical, the musical, the series, which is a mouthful. And truthfully, and I know, like I said, this is a reoccurring theme, the first season was much better than the second season. And if I was going based off of the first season, I probably would have this at the top of the list. I was obsessed with the first season. This season, though, was very disappointing, and I almost feel like I should have had this a little lower on the list, but I ultimately decided to keep it here for a few reasons. First of all, let me start with the positives. The cast is amazing, particularly the two leads. Obviously, Olivia Rodrigo. I have not only been obsessed with her since Driver's License, I have been obsessed with her since really, like, season one of High School Musical, the musical, the series. Last year, she was my most listened to artist on Spotify, based solely off of me listening to the High School Musical, the musical, the series. Ugh, I hate saying that so many times in a row. But anyway, based solely off of me listening to their soundtrack. So I'm not just, like, an Olivia fan, but I've been a fan of her from this series. As well as Sophia Wiley. She's incredible. I'm a dancer. She's a dancer. I think she's amazing. Super talented. And she's so young, too. And in general, like, I think the cast of this show is amazing. In this season in particular, they had some cast members that I was kind of, like, super excited about. Derek Hough, who is a dancer from Dancing with the Stars and World of Dance and other stuff. He was a kind of reoccurring character on the show, and I was super excited to see him on the show. We had two actors on here that played Dear Evan Hansen. We had, or Evan Hansen in Dear Evan Hansen, I mean, the Broadway show. Actually, we had three but two particularly that were kind of more main characters, which were Roman Banks and Andrew Barth Feldman. And then we did have a third, Evan Hansen, that really he only made one appearance, but it was Jordan Fisher, who I'm obsessed with. And he's been in so many musicals, both in Broadway and Disney Channel musicals and different stuff. So I was super excited. Like I said, this cast is incredible. And not only the ones I mentioned, like Larry Saperstein, his tap dancing that they've incorporated into the show is insane. Every single cast member has an insanely amazing voice. So yeah, that's what I like about the show. And then as well, not all the music. I feel like in season one, all the music really, I loved it. In this season in particular, I like the Rose song, which is the song Olivia wrote for the series. And I'm going to be totally honest, like I'm not being biased because I am a fan of Olivia. It wasn't my favorite. It was one of my favorite, but it wasn't necessarily my favorite of my favorites, if that makes any sense. A Dancer's Heart, which is the one that Sophia Wiley sang this season. I love that one. I think that was my second favorite song of the season. And then the favorite song of the season was the one, oh my gosh, why can I not remember the name? I hate, this is so embarrassing. I always do this. I forget names of things right when I have to talk about them. But the song that they sang in the, A Second Chance. There we go. It always comes back to me, guys. A Second Chance, which is the song that the four main cast members, Olivia Rodrigo, Sophia Wiley, Joshua Bassett, and Matt Cornett sing at the end of the very last episode of the season. That song was probably my favorite of the season. I think the four main cast members' voices went very well together. They never really get to sing much together, so it was nice to hear them all sing a song together, as well as just the scene itself. They're all kind of back in their clothes from season one. That was kind of a cool scene. So, with that being said, yes, I love the cast, I love the music, I love season one, I love all the callbacks to High School Musical, I grew up with High School Musical. If you know anything about me, if you've seen my YouTube channel or anything like that, you know I'm a crazy obsessed High School Musical fan ever since I was a child, which might be why this season disappointed me a little. You know, first of all, with a name like High School Musical, the musical, the series, you would think they would be doing High School Musical 2, but no, they decided to do Beauty and the Beast this season, which is fine. I love Beauty and the Beast on Broadway as well. You know, Christy Carlson Romano, who I met before, she played the voice of Kim Possible. She was a Belle on Broadway. And so, you know, I do love Beauty and the Beast. I wasn't disappointed, but I also was a little bit because of the fact that they weren't doing High School Musical 2. And really, I thought they were going to acknowledge High School Musical 2 a lot more and have maybe like some songs or scenes or little things related to it. Basically, after the first episode, they really didn't mention High School Musical anymore. So that was kind of disappointing. The medley they did of High School Musical 2 was okay. They also did Bet on It. It was okay. I feel like particularly in the first season, I really liked the High School Musical songs that they did. When There Was Me and You, When There Was Me and You? No, what's the song Vanessa Hudgens sings? Yeah, When There Was Me and You. I actually liked the High School Musical and Musical Series version better than the High School Musical version. So I was very disappointed that there wasn't more High School Musical music in this season. Another thing is, I feel like they did waste some of the characters. I talked already about how Derek Hough was a new character in this season and how he played the kind of rival drama teacher. Andrew Barth Feldman is another one who was a new character. He was from the rival school. And I feel like they kind of wasted those characters. They kind of appeared and then disappeared. There was a lot of, like, characters coming in and out this season. Jordan Fisher and Asher Angel both kind of appeared and then disappeared. They were only meant to be in one episode, each one of them. But it just felt like there was a lot going on. We also had Olivia Rose Keegan playing a new character, Lily, who was kind of the rival character. I feel like she did have a big role in this season compared to the other new characters, but in general, I feel like they already had such a huge cast of main characters, even including Seb as a main character this season, Joe Serafini, who plays Seb, I mean, and So I felt like they just kind of wasted some of the new characters. I feel like it was great to see them on screen, but they didn't have like a start to finish story. It felt like they kind of just were there and then they were gone, if that makes sense. And then the biggest disappointment for me of this season, and probably the reason that this series is not higher up on the list, is the finale. The finale, it wasn't like a cliffhanger. I can get on board with a cliffhanger. It was more like they just forgot to kind of close up a lot of plot points. It was, the whole season was about them competing with North High and the Mankey Awards and who was going to win and who was going to be the best school and blah, blah, blah. And then they just decide that they're not going to compete after all, and they don't open the results, and that's it. And it's kind of, it was a very lackluster finale. I almost wanted to see them lose a la Camp Rock 2, or if they were not going to compete, I kind of wanted them, so there was a plot where they couldn't sing Nene's song, the Rose song, because it wasn't part of the original script, and they wouldn't be able to compete, and blah, blah, blah. I would have even preferred if they had been like, you know what, we're going to sing the Rose song, and that's why we're not going to compete. But just, it was so important to them, and then in the very last episode, at the very last minute, they were like, just kidding. So I didn't like that. And there was other things I didn't like, but I'm just going to leave it at that. I hate to say this, especially about a show that I like, and that this season wasn't awful. In fact, I do want to rewatch it, just to kind of see it again and give it another chance. But, and especially, I do prefer to watch a series, like, from beginning to end. I was watching it weekly, so that could have been an issue as well. But I gotta say, and I hate to say this about a series that I really, really love, but I've also gotta be honest, that might have been one of the worst season finales I have ever seen. It just did not do it for me. Not to mention, like, there were so many other things they could have done. For example, one of the main characters, EJ, he was a senior. It was his last show. I thought maybe they would show his graduation or something. Also, all signs are pointing towards season 3 being like taking place in summer and being about like maybe summer camp. I heard rumors, I have no idea if this is true, about them wanting to do like a Camp Rock thing. And they did do a cover of The Climb by Miley Cyrus, which was in Hannah Montana the movie, this season. So I don't feel like it's totally out of the question for them to incorporate like other Disney Channel DCOMs or anything else. So that, I love Camp Rock, but I don't know. We're going to have to see what they do. Also, there's, like, heavy rumors that maybe Olivia Rodrigo won't return for season 3. Obviously, she's, like, a biggest pop star in the world right now. So, who knows? Who knows? I'm interested to see what'll happen. But, anyway, my whole point to all of this was just that I feel like there's so many different things they could have done for the finale. And the finale was just very lackluster. All right, at number 3, and we're getting to the top 3, and these top 3 on the list, actually, I don't have much negative to say about them. These are really, like, the shows that I watched this summer that I was like, yeah, that's a good series. So, first up, we have iCarly, the new iCarly revival, and I gotta say, I am very skeptical about revivals, reboots, spinoffs. I just feel like they never do justice to the original, but this series feels like a continuation of the original, just like it was intended to be. I absolutely love it. Obviously, there are some differences. First of all, the biggest one being that the characters are older, the actors are older, and the audience is older. And I think that what they did right here was, instead of trying to target the kids again, instead of going back to Nickelodeon and being for preteen child audience, they really said, you know, this show is for our original fans, and this show is for the people who grew up with us, and this show is for, you know, adults and maybe teens. I don't really know if teens were watching iCarly when it came out, but definitely like young adults. And I love it. You know, it feels like a revival should feel. The series has evolved as the audience has evolved. There are now jokes that necessarily would not be appropriate at all for Nickelodeon or for kids, but they're all right for Paramount Plus, and they're all right for the new audience, or not the new audience, really the old audience that is older now. And I love it. I love, I really do. Like, it's great. Obviously, the other big difference is that Jeanette McCurdy did not reprise her role as Sam. It's a little bit disappointing, but after hearing everything that the actress went through, I understand why she decided not to return. And I think it was possible that that could have been the downfall of the show, or it could have been something really awful. But here's why I think it works. Because there was a spinoff from iCarly / Victorious called Sam and Cat. In that spinoff, Sam is living her own life. She's away from Carly. She's doing her own thing. So I think it works, particularly because of that spinoff that happened. We know where Sam was. We saw her without Carly. So it's kind of, it works. And they do mention her a few times throughout the series, which I do like. I like that they didn't just try to pretend she never existed or anything like that. There are great callbacks to the original series. And I think even if you never saw the original series, you might be a little confused, but I think you would enjoy the series. I have a few complaints, not much, but my one complaint would be that in the original iCarly, pretty much every episode we would see them doing the web show, and we would see little skits and whatnot. This time around, I only really recall one, maybe two episodes where we actually see Carly filming the web show, and even then they're not really like skits like we would see before. So that's the one thing I kind of miss, especially because technically speaking, that is the main plot of the show. So it kind of feels odd to kind of always hear them talking about how she has a web show or she is an influencer or this or that, but then not really see that part of her. They did get renewed for season 2, so I'm hoping in season 2 we'll see more of that. The new characters, first of all, we have Millicent, who, you know, she's good. I feel like it's a little odd to have, she's like the only child in the cast, so it is a little odd to kind of have like a child in there. I don't know. It does feel, she works well in some episodes, and other episodes I'm like, all right. And then we also have, oh my gosh, why can I not remember her name? I want to say the actress's name, which is Lacey, but that's not her name. Anyway, we have Carly's new best friend, and I think she's great. I honestly love her. I think she's a great addition to the series. I love that she's not a copy of Sam. They have totally, completely different personalities, which is great. I think if they tried to make her a copy of Sam, it would just feel forced and like a replacement. She doesn't feel like a replacement. She just feels like a new addition, and I think she's a great character. She's funny. She has like a lot of great one-liners and stuff. There are moments where her, Carly, some of the characters can be a little bit cringy, but it's not bad. Also, there are a few episodes that are like, I think one in particular that I was kind of like, what is happening? But I love it. It's a very chaotic series. You never know what you're going to get from one week to the next. And I feel like that's what the original was. It was chaotic. It was, you know, just crazy. Like, most shows, even kids shows, like, speaking from Nickelodeon, like, Victorious, like, every week, you know, it was something happening at their school. Some kind of performance or whatever, show, anything. Whereas with iCarly, it was always chaotic. Like, you never knew what you were going to get. They could be going to Japan or the Web Awards, or they could just be at school or making a deal with some faulty sneaker company. I don't know. But I love the chaos of it all. I think it's great and it's funny. I always love a good sitcom. I don't know if you would call this a sitcom necessarily, but it gives the same vibes where it's funny. That's really the main thing, is just to sit down and laugh. So I like it. It's great. I honestly love the way they did this revival. I can't wait for season 2. This is the other series on this list, though, where the finale was a little bit meh. Not as meh as High School Musical, the series finale, which I hate to keep harping on that. But It did just actually premiere today, and I watched it at 2 a.m., and it wasn't bad, but I don't know. I kind of wanted more. She's kind of in this love triangle now. I hope they don't harp on that for too long in season two, because I really am not a fan of, like, love triangles in every series and movie and everything, which I'm going to contradict myself in a little bit, but whatever. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad finale. It wasn't a good finale. It was a little meh. But yeah, I'm excited for season two. And I gotta say, the one thing that did upset me throughout this all is, if you watched iCarly growing up, which I did. Oh, sorry. Oh, that's not lovely for a podcast, but we'll pretend I didn't just cough. Anyway, I watched iCarly growing up, and there was always the battle of Ceddie versus Creddy, which was Sam and Freddy versus Carly and Freddy. Obviously, Sam is gone now, and I was always a Carly and Freddy shipper. And so I thought, like, yes, now is their chance, you know. A theme throughout the series was that they were both single. So I thought that was leading up to something, and then we just have two other guys that are after Carly. They're in a love triangle with her now. So it doesn't look like that's happening, at least not yet. And that was one of the things that frustrated me throughout the series, is, like, every time I thought they were going to be together, it didn't happen. Which, I get it. Like, half of me likes them as just friends, but the other half of me has been wanting them to be together since the original. So, yeah, there's that. But anyway, pretty good show. A revival the way it should be done is what I say. At number two on this list, we have Love, Victor. It is season two, a very good continuation of season one. It was interesting without being too chaotic or too repetitive or anything like that. So if you didn't see the first season, basically it's about this kid, Victor, and he realizes he's gay, and he's, like, coming out to his parents. That's what happens at the end, or really his whole family at the end of the season. And this season, we kind of see him, like, kind of battling with his mom. His mom's, like, not okay with it. And then his parents are getting a divorce, and there's, like, a lot going on. There's also a love triangle. And ironically enough, the number one and two series on here both have love triangles, even though I just said with iCarly that I'm not a fan of love triangles. But, I mean, this love triangle wasn't horrible. Like, it was pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't... No, I know who I want him to end up with. I think I prefer Benji, just because, I don't know. Well, yeah, maybe you guys should watch it and tell me who you think. But anyway, overall, the series was pretty good. Like, I don't have too much to say about it, but a lot happened, but it was good. It, like, dealt with some serious topics. It was funny, lighthearted, dramatic, everything basically a series can be, so... No complaints. I wish I had more to say about it, especially because it's number two on the list. But really, like, I think me not saying anything is actually a good thing. It's just a good show. Like, it's interesting. It's great. I can't wait for the next season. It's also, the main character and his family are Latino. So I love a good Latino representation. The actress that plays Pilar, which is the main character, Victor's sister, is incredible. I think she's great. And then this season, she actually ends up with Felix, which is the main character, Victor's best friend, kind of, slash their neighbor and stuff. So I actually really like that plot. And there's also, like, a side plot where Felix's mother's, like, mentally unstable, and a lot happens, but I like the side plots. Sometimes, like I said, I mentioned earlier that some series can kind of have a lot going on, but make it work. And I think this series really did, because instead of feeling like a lot going on and hard to follow, I kind of felt like I was getting a glimpse into every character's family lives and personal lives, and kind of figuring out who they are and where they come from. So it wasn't overwhelming in any way. And number one on this list is Never Have I Ever. Now, I watched season one. When I watched season one, nobody had watched the series. Season two came out this summer. Suddenly everybody's watching it. People are recommending it to me. And I'm like, I'm not trying to say, like, oh, I discovered the series or anything. Like, no, definitely not. I just thought it was great that I had, like, my sister two of my best friends. They watched it. They recommended it to me. I obviously had already seen it. But the point is that they really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. So it's a really great show. Particularly season two. Season one was good. I'm actually pleasantly surprised that I liked the second season better than the first. Because as we've seen, I do tend to prefer first seasons or earlier seasons. But no, it's great. The main character, Davey, is so unlikable and cringy. But, like, in the best way. Like, I want to root for her because she is unlikable and cringy. Like, she seems realistic in that way. Like, she's supposed to be a high schooler. And, like, I believe it. I buy it. Like, it's great. And then the main love triangle of this series, like, this is a love triangle I actually, like, I'm obsessed with. From the beginning, I was always Team Paxton, and Davey and Paxton ended up together at the end of the season, which is great. But also, there are moments where I'm like, oh, I'm Team Davey and Ben, and, you know, it's great. Like, I think Maitreyi Ramakrishna, I hope I said her name correctly, she is amazing as Davey, and I really like, there is, like, some side plots as well. There's a side plot with her cousin, and she's kind of having her own issues, and I do like that side plot, even though I'm not always a fan of side plots. But yeah, the main plot for me is the best with Davey, and she's always making mistakes and messing up, and that can get annoying, but also, I enjoy it, because it makes her more realistic. And yeah, I don't have much to say about this one either, but like I said, not having much to say is great. All I can say is I highly recommend you watch this series. It's so good. Honestly, I would recommend every series I talked about. If I didn't like them, I wouldn't have watched them. Obviously, I have complaints about some of them. But, you know, sometimes it's okay to be angry at a series or whatever. But yeah, this was my list. I hope you enjoyed the summer series showdown. This has been a long episode, you guys. And I gotta say, sometimes it's kind of rough to record like this. Like I said, this series is unscripted. So I usually record, like, without stopping. And wow, it's been almost an hour. Like, that is rough, guys. I actually think it has been about an hour. Anyway, if you tuned in to this episode, thank you so much. Happy 3-year anniversary to the podcast. Places you can find me: Facebook, Kennedy C Media; YouTube, Kennedy Castillo, that's KennedyCastillo, KennedyCblog.com, anchor.fm/KennedyC is for this podcast. For my other podcast, anchor.fm/SimplyScreenReviews. Instagram @KennedyC_blog. That is pretty much everywhere that you can find me. Thanks so much for tuning in. I will be here next Thursday as well. Plenty of great episodes coming up, so make sure you tune into those. And until then, have a great Thursday.